Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. It is your girl, Cy Brown, and I am coming at you live from New York City, bringing you your daily dose of urban inspiration, pop culture, spirituality, motivation, and all that good stuff. We have a very full and heavy day today. Usually, you know, we talk about really fun and light and cool stuff, but I don't know how many of you woke up to what I woke up to, and that is the fall of Lehman Brothers. This company is over 100 years old, and for it to fall and crumble, and the fact that they had their meetings on a Sunday morning, there's just so much to talk about. We had an amazing show Friday that really started Thursday. I mean, it's really interesting because the way my show works is we just, you know, I kind of pick out cool things that I really think are worth mentioning because the motto of the show is rethink everything you know about everything you know. And I believe that's how we become more successful. But so on Thursday, which was September 11th, we really talked about the importance of family and how important family is and how people started to rethink the importance of family after September 11th. You know, instead of going out to McDonald's on Friday, people were making burgers and playing Monopoly and Scrabble just to unify the family because of the tragedy. And then we touched on the World Trade Organization and money and New World Order and this global currency and all of these things. So Friday's show got really, really good. And so I decided, and everybody actually that was calling in, we said we needed a part two on that and decided to bring that into today's show. But then the banks and then the money and then all this other stuff happened over the weekend. So what I did today and yesterday is just really, and it's my attempt to seamlessly blend all of these topics into my show today. And I do believe that it will be done successfully, but it's just something that we really, really, really have to look into because this is something a little too major for us to just gloss over. This has much bigger implications than just, well, that's white people and we don't have white-collar jobs. I mean, just think of Ike, Hurricane Ike, that just has devastated Galveston, Texas. I mean, I was watching this morning on the radio, watching on the television, toggling between the people in Galveston that don't have a home to go home to, ergo what happened with Katrina a couple years ago, to the fall of our financial markets. And I'm right here in New York City, so we are really feeling it heavy. People that were getting triple-digit, you know, six-figure bonuses just a year ago, 2 years ago, are now out of work. And I'm sure that unemployment check, even at the max of $500, I think, is the max you can get for unemployment. I really don't know, but I'm thinking. For some reason, like, $500 is popping into my brain. That is not going to cut it if your mortgage is $3,500 a month. So we just really need to see what's going on, and we really need to pay attention to what's going on. And you know what? For what it's worth, I truly believe if we don't learn a lesson the first time, God is going to keep allowing that situation to – well, wait, not necessarily that he allows it to happen, but we are going to keep reliving that situation because we haven't learned our lesson. Meaning, if we experience something and don't successfully handle that situation, we are destined to repeat it. So it's not that God allows it. We just kind of don't deal with it. And so when the situation comes again, we're not properly prepared to handle that situation again. And I think that's really what happened with Katrina, that, you know, we did not learn our lesson. We did not handle things as we should have. Ergo, here comes the same situation again, and we just have a lot of stuff to talk about today. I think I just said all of that in just in rapid succession. I think I just talked for 5 minutes straight without even coming up for air. Just because I have so much to say today, I'm a little stuffy, you know, I always talk about the weather. It's beautiful. The weather here in New York is absolutely gorgeous. It's like at the mid-80s. It's a little warm for me, but I think something's happening with my allergies or something, so I got to deal with that. But I just want to say, give a quick shout-out and a big, big, big hello to everybody who I interviewed, and then after we do this, we're going to jump right into today's Daily Thought and get right into our show. I want to give a special shout-out to everybody at Lance Williams True Worship Retreat 2008. It was an amazing 3 days. I got interviews, everybody, just so you know. I got an amazing interview with Dwayne Woods, who is just a gospel sensation. I got an interview with Alvin Slaughter. I got an interview with Richard Smallwood. I missed Bishop Liston Page. But I got interviews with Richard Brown. His church is up in Canada. I got a great interview with Sean Slaughter, who is Alvin Slaughter's son. So all of my interviews and all of my promo pieces can be found on, if you go to nycgospel.com, that's my blog for here in the New York City area. But if you go to nycgospel.com, you can find all of my interviews that I did, and they're videotaped, so you can watch the interviews. But just everybody at True Worship Retreat. Also, big ups to Christian Pentecostal Church, who hosted the event, and to their esteemed pastor and Kelvin Leach from Flipside Entertainment and Kawan from Sunshine Factory PR. So that's just kind of my little sidebar. I talked for 5 minutes straight about this whole thing, and then I got into just saying big ups to everybody who was at the True Worship Retreat. But I just want to give our daily thought, and we are getting right into today's show. Hey, everybody in the chat room. Hi, LaVon and Dropping Seed and Miss V. You guys missed my, like, five-minute monologue. I talked for 5 minutes straight, and now I see everybody's joining in. Wendy K and True View. I just kind of spoke about what I woke up to this morning, and it was just very devastating. So let me give our daily thoughts, and we are getting right into today's show. For Monday, September 15th, I can be what I want to be, do what I want to do, and have what I want to have. The only person that is keeping me from living the life I desire is me. I am fully equipped with everything I need to be what I want to be, do what I want to do, and have what I want to have. God has supplied me with the necessary faculties to achieve any goal I set out to achieve. God has given me the faculties of faith, love, strength, wisdom, power, imagination, understanding, will, order, zeal, renunciation, and life. With these faculties, there is nothing impossible for me. I can be what I want to be, do what I want to do, and have what I want to have. I will be what I want to be, do what I want to do, and I will have what I want to have. I use my God-given faculties to move my life in the direction of greater success, optimum health, harmonious relationships, and boundless wealth. I am clear about my purpose and my desires, and I move step by step towards my ultimate reality. Thank you, God, in me, as me, and so it is. And today's scripture reading comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. The eye has not seen, and the ear has not heard, and the heart of man has not conceived the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Yeah, I believe that. And you know what? I believe we make our own reality, but a lot of people would dispute that. But I truly do believe that we do create our own reality. And God has given us the beautiful faculty of free will. And a lot of people say, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. Yeah, but the Lord wants you to take action too. So that's how that goes. Oh, everybody in the chat room is telling me they did hear it. Okay, cool. So it just must have come up slowly in the chat room. See, that's good. Technology, you got to love it. Dropping Seed said I heard it, but the chat room didn't come up on my computer till now. LaVon said she heard it too. Okay, good. Well, then that's good. Now, on to what is going on. Since you all heard what I was saying, I think we have to really look at the bigger picture of what's going on. And I know we're definitely going to get into school choice, and we're going to continue that conversation from Friday. But before we do, I think we really need to talk about what's going on, because this cannot be ignored. Right now, Lehman Brothers is no more. And I laugh not to laugh to be funny. It's not funny, but I'm laughing because, like, do we all understand the magnitude of there is no Lehman Brothers? And one of the things, y'all know I'm just such a follower of politics, but you know something? I was watching all the news programs, toggling between all of them, and I had two TVs going, believe it or not, because you're going to get a half-truth or a quarter-truth from each show. So I'm trying to arrive at the truth, amen, because you know one place is not going to give us all the truth, and I feel that way about church as well. But you can't get all the truth you need from one place. You have to be able to be resourceful, take what you can, and arrive at the truth as you understand it. So based on that, this is what I understand about Lehman Brothers and just about how people's money is insured. Because one of the commentators said, what if you have $600,000 or $700,000 in your accounts, be it however many accounts they are, how are you going to will this money to your children? How are you going to, you know, facilitate your succession planning? And I chuckled because right now our economy is not in a place where anybody can do any succession planning because there's nothing to pass on. Everybody is so financially strapped, and it's really sad that our economy is such that people are struggling just to pay gas. All right. Wendy K says, I'm afraid to look at my stock portfolio. I'm going to say something, and it's not based on anything that I know. So I'm prefacing it by this. But listen carefully. Well, Wendy K says you better spread it out to different banks. Okay, everything I'm telling you, I need to put a disclaimer on today's show, and I'm putting it on because the show is recorded and can be downloaded through iTunes. Everything that I'm saying today is based on my knowledge and my understanding. I encourage you to go do your own research and look it up on yourself. Do not take anything that I'm saying as law or as the final authority. Amen? Good, because I am not the final authority. I am just saying based on my understanding. Hello, special guest. I see you in the chat room. Now, Wendy, based on what you're saying, the FDIC only insures up to $100,000. As I understand it, that is per Social Security number or per depositor. So now, if you have $100,000 in Bank A, $100,000 in Bank B, and $100,000 in Bank C, you are still only insured up to $100,000. It's not per bank. It's not per institution. It's per depositor. Now, I do not know if that is the case. I'm saying it based on things that I have read, but I really, really want you to look into this because I think, okay, it's per, Ms. V says it's per deposit. That's why I said I had to put my disclaimer because everything I'm saying is based on my understanding. So that means if I have $500,000 spread between five banks, as I understand it, I am still only insured up to $100,000. So that is that. But back to this whole thing with succession planning and all of this, do you all not understand how Lehman Brothers employed over 20,000 people? Like, that's a lot of people. That is a whole lot of people. Okay, well, it's saying we're not talking banks, we're talking investments, and that's absolutely true. Your deposits in a bank are insured, investments are not. So that's another thing to be mindful of. And I really hope everybody goes back and listens to the archive because it seems like this is going to be a very active chat room today. So as I'm kind of speaking and everybody's reading, we want to make sure that we get complete thoughts and complete sentences out because I'm reading it as it pops up. It is a lose-lose situation. Ms. V, you are absolutely right because the investments are not as insured or not insured as deposits are. Investments are insured by a company called SIPC. SIPC insures your investments. But what's going on with this whole Lehman Brothers situation is the federal government, do you all remember when IndyMac went out of business in the summer? I think it was, I don't even want to say the month because I don't remember, but in the summer, IndyMac in California went under and everybody, there was a run for the bank and people were trying to get their money out and they couldn't get their money out. Then not so long ago, there was Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, another disaster. In the beginning of the year, we had, I believe it was Merrill Lynch, but now Bank of America just bought Merrill Lynch for $50 billion. There is no more Lehman Brothers. There is no more Bear Stearns. And now AIG, which is the biggest insurer, they're short on cash. I want to share this with you, and y'all listen to me closely. The end of the fiscal year for the United States is September 30th. That means the end of the fiscal year for the United States is September 30th. They have to balance their books somehow. How in the world are all of these banks going under and needing bailout right before the end of the fiscal year? I don't know about you. I don't have that much money in the bank, but you may want to consider putting it under your mattress, because also in a time of war, your money can be seized. So be mindful of all of these things, and I encourage everybody to go back and look and research everything I'm telling you. Just privatization, that amazing conversation we have Friday, all of these things are real. All of these things, I'm not pulling this stuff out of my neck. This stuff is real stuff. And I think when you really look at what's going on, we're going to lose. And here's how I can tell you we're going to lose. Because rich, not wealthy, rich, upwardly high-end class, white people are losing. And it's not necessarily making it a racial issue, but for the most part, by and large, black people have never really had much of anything anyway. We all used to laugh at black people that still use money orders and this and that, and Big Mama kept her money under the mattress. Maybe they knew a little bit more than we did. You know, and I remember going to church one Sunday, and the pastor said, this was some time ago, said everybody is so intellectual and everybody has to rethink everything that they're not using their instinct anymore, their God-given instinct, and that's when God is talking to you. And based on that, I think that's how we get into a lot of these binds, especially people of color who hasn't really had much from day one. All we had to go on was our gut and well, I think, and the wind is blowing this way. And then as we started to get more educated, we discounted that as hogwash and medicine men and y'all don't know what you're talking about. You need a 401K. But then look at Enron. This can happen, people. I read when Enron collapsed, this one lady lost $275,000. She had nothing. There was no recourse. There was, oops, sorry, your money is gone. Ms. V is saying they should go to jail like any other criminal, but they're not. It's not going to happen. This is robbery and the incredible and an incredible show of greed. Absolutely. Capitalism at its best. And TrueView says we're even borrowing from China to help our expenses. Now we are now sending money to Ghana. I don't know. Y'all might want to consider getting a passport. Everybody listening and within earshot of my voice, you may want to consider getting a passport. Because I looked at the television this morning and I saw those people in Galveston, Texas, and this is some serious stuff. Their whole city is gone. It's like underwater, wiped out, washed out. So, I mean, did it not look like a third world country? Were we not just talking about Haiti and, oh, it must be bad over there? Is that not coming our way? Look at Katrina that we have not fully recovered from. Look at Galveston, Texas that we are going through now. New Orleans, Texas, all of these things, that stuff is hitting right here. Now, how in the world are we supposed to pay for that? I really want to know, where is the money coming from? The minute we moved from the gold bar as our standard, our dollar has never recovered. Gold bars are now worth multiple hundreds of dollars per ounce. Well, that was just posted in the chat room. You're absolutely right. That's the second time Galveston has been destroyed. Well, it's a sad situation. It's really a sad situation. And, you know, let's go back to this whole privatization. Well, the first time was in the 19th century. Let's go back to this whole privatization issue. On Friday, we were talking about privatization of our schools. And you know, I went into this lengthy discussion how I feel privatization was a way to steal money from the public citizens. And it was done through charter schools and school choice. And then we'll get back to privatization and how it's going to affect our economy moving forward. The whole thing we were discussing about privatization Friday is where there were private companies set up, such as Advantage, Mosaica. These are two companies that are known for privatizing schools. Now, what they did was they told the public that, listen, give us that same money that you're giving PS123, we'll teach your kids and we'll teach your kids better. Well, what happened was, and you all heard me explain, because of the rigorous process in getting your children into these schools, it automatically weeded out, quote-unquote, average students. And so what happened was charter schools, particularly the charter school that my children were in, they got the cream of the crop. They got the very, very best. They got the most attentive parents. They got the parents with means. Because it was so challenging to get their children in, people really busted their hump to get their kid in because we looked at it as an alternative to paying private school tuition. Now, once these children got into the schools, the school began to test them, and schools are rated based on their test scores. Well, the test scores were extremely high. Why? Because you got the best of the best. You didn't get children with learning difficulties. You didn't get children with behavior problems. You didn't get children with ADHD and all these other things. You got the very best of the best. So now they went around touting, oh, look, charter schools work. Look at the test scores. When, in fact, yeah, the test scores were up, but you are not representing a cross-section of students in a given city. So what happens? Now there's expansion. People are saying charter schools work. Let's pull our kids out, pay these private institutions to teach our children. So now what's happening is public education is losing more money. Now here's my only thing with that situation. A lot of people were telling me, oh, you're pulling money out of the public schools because you're sending your kid to these charter schools. I didn't quite agree with that because my children were never educated with public money anyway. And that's where the deficit really comes in. Not because these private schools are taking money out of public education, but the children that are making these mass, I don't want to say exodus, what's the opposite of exodus, mass enrollment into these charter schools have never been educated in public institutions anyway. And this is what I actually had to do. I literally had to enroll my children in public school, in my local public school, and then withdraw them right after I enrolled them because of this. And let me go a little bit deeper here. The private company that was going to be educating my children, the government said, these two children don't exist because one of my children went in at fourth grade and the other went in kindergarten. So when the private company, the private for-profit company, went to submit the invoice to the state of New Jersey to get paid for my kids, the state of New Jersey is like, who are these kids? We don't know who these kids are. How are you educating this kid in the fourth grade? And he's, you know, we don't know who he is. So they actually forced me to enroll my children in public school, withdraw them just so that the state of New Jersey knew that my kids existed, and now the New Jersey Department of Education had to now pay this private company almost $10,000, which is almost $20,000 to educate my children per year. And that's why a lot of people are saying these private institutions are taking money out of public schools. Now, just speaking on the – oh, wait a minute. Let me go back to the chat room. Okay, Wendy Case just sent us a link in the chat room. This link will explain the way money is secured. And if you look at the bottom of the page, it is per FDIC-insured bank that you are insured. Okay, thank you, Wendy. Thank you for sending that information. That's why I said everybody's going to have to go back and listen to this show because I have things that I want to talk about and I want to discuss with everybody. But I flow, by the way, in the chat room. So thank you for sending that link over. And just for those of you that are listening and not looking at the chat room, here is the link, www.fdic.gov/deposit/deposits.html. So I'm going to go through it one more time. So for those of you listening and not looking at the chat room, here it is, www.fdic.gov/deposit/deposits/insured/basics. ICS period HTML. Okay, so I hope everybody got that. So, okay, so just taking it back a little bit to privatization, because I really wanted to sum up our conversation from Friday just about the whole concept of how privatization is destroying this country because of its greed, because of this selfish, I got mine, capitalistic society in which we live. Now let's translate that, how that impacts Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, Bear Stearns, and AIG. Wendy K says, so if you have $300,000 in one bank, you better split it up to three different banks to be covered. All right, and that's one of the things that we talked about at the top of the show that I know, Dropping C said that's a mouthful, Si. I put in the notes and in all the emails that I sent out today, I'm going to try to get everything in 1 hour, but obviously it's not going to happen. I'm just going to try and get in as much as I can get in today, and then we're just going to have to continue on this conversation. And it's so funny because for those of you that have been following my show since it started in July, the show started off very guest-heavy, and I love having guests on the show. But now here's me coming from a very personal perspective. I felt having so many guests prohibited me from really talking about today's hot issues and topics. Because just imagine if I had a guest on today, I would not really be given the flexibility to talk about what we're talking about. And it's my goal for us to always talk about very timely and current issues. So until I can get guests on that can flow freely and are very well-versed in today's hottest and current topics so I can have a guest scheduled, but yet we're talking about hot topics, you're going to continue to get shows such as this, where I'm just giving you information, information, information. And if that's all right, then that's all right. My listenership will grow. but let's get back to the stuff that Wendy's putting in the chat room. We talked about that at the top of the show. It was my understanding that you would only be insured per depositor up to $100,000. But Wendy is saying, so if you have $300,000 in one bank, you better split it up to three different banks to be covered. Ms. V says, invest in other countries like the wealthy, Dubai, Singapore, et cetera. None of the wealth invest or put money in the banks. They really don't. Yeah, they don't. They really, really don't. And that's why I was saying to y'all, you better get your passports. I really believe that to be so, because what's happening is, just even in Mexico, there was an article that I read where this woman in, I think it was Utah, one of those Western states, she was defaulting on her mortgage here in the States. So what she did was she did a short sale, I believe it was, on her house, took the money, and there is a bank set up. There are a few banks actually set up to help people get mortgages on properties in Mexico. She is having damn near a mansion built in Mexico, and her mortgage is only $400 a month. So what she did was she started renting a very small apartment with her daughter here in the States, and the rest of her money she's paying for her mortgage, and I believe the mortgage was for like less than 10 years or something like that. It was for an inordinately short amount of time. So they are taking our money from this country and leaving, you know, spending it someplace else. That's why our money is not circulating. When I used to have a job, I worked with this woman from Portugal, one of the nicest women, very big on family. You know, she truly lived the American dream. She worked hard. Her husband worked hard. Her mother and father barely spoke English. They came from Portugal, and she made no bones about saying, when I retire, I am going back to Portugal. She said, this country has no respect for its senior citizens, and the money that I'm going to get in my retirement, I can live like a queen in Portugal. So now she's here to work, and she's a very nice lady, but you can't hate on her. She's taking all of her money, extracting it from our economy, and she's taking it to Portugal. Now, she was in her, matter of fact, she had celebrated her 50th birthday a couple years ago, so now I'd say she's about 52, 53 maybe. So here is somebody who in 10 years is going to continuously and monthly extract money from our economy that we're not going to get back. So she worked, and I don't dare go so far as to say robbery, but is that not what's happening? All of these people come to our country, work. They're going to get Social Security and go back to their country, and what are we left with? What are Americans left with? We're left with fallen banks. We're left with, you know, AIG operating at a deficit. And I'll tell you, I have a lot of insurance with AIG. I'm very nervous about my insurance. I am really, really nervous, and if we don't wake up, people, and we don't see what's going on, we are going to be dead in the water. We're not going to have anything. We're not going to have any assets. We're not going to have anything to speak of, and what's really, really ironic is it's difficult explaining this to children. Y'all know I have two children. You know how what mental struggles, and some would go so far as to say spiritual warfare, I have gone through with my children trying to detox them from the lifestyle that we live to the lifestyle that we're at right now. It is difficult. My younger son, you all know, started high school. Well, he's a, you know, started his new school, and he was angry at us because we wouldn't buy him a pair of sneakers. And he said, well, they're only $80. And now I'm saying to him, well, sweetheart, $80 is a lot of money. Like, not only do adults have to deal with the fact that it's harder to pay bills, but we've now raised children in this environment and this lifestyle of entitlement. Think about it. And you know I'm so candid. I tell you all everything about me. We have all successfully raised very materialistic children, and now when we tell them no, we have to deal with that. And it's not as easy to say, well, you just tell your kids no, these parents. Because my 14-year-old, that's all he knew was wealth. Just imagine. Let's follow this logic here. And the chat room is so active. Oh, my goodness. Wendy says, I need to move to South America. Shoot, my town just raised my property taxes to an additional $1,165 annually. Oh, my goodness. My little rinky-dinky town in North Jersey, the taxes are almost $8,000 a year. And the city services are not that grand. So, let me get back to what I was saying about the young people. I'll tell you, my husband and I raised our son. He was born in 1993. So you figure, by the time this kid was 5 years old and really aware of what, you know, when you really start to become aware of yourself, what are you, about 4 or 5 years old? When you really start to, you know, you start school and other kids are talking about Santa Claus and other kids are talking about Frosted Flakes. We have a joke that my kids never even knew what sweetened cereal was until they went to school because we never gave it to them. So I think kids come into their awareness at about the age of 4 or 5. Okay, so if he was born in 93, that puts him in 98. Well, if everybody can reflect back to 1998, this country was booming in 1998. Money was flowing. People in hip-hop were making money. NBA All-Star Weekend was popping. Everybody had money. People are buying cars. People are, you know, popping bottles. 98 was good. 99 was good. 2000 was good. Then the bubble started to burst, but really people were still okay. What happened was people started leveraging their credit to maintain the same lifestyle that they had been living the last couple of years. 2003, 2004, things got a little bit tight. Last year, in 2007, is when things really, really, really started getting tight. But again, parents such as myself, we're still leveraging, we're still managing. So here we are, 2008, and I have to explain to a 14-year-old why we cannot get you $80 sneakers. Now, I will admit, the sucker that I am, we ended up buying him the sneakers. Call me what you want, but we did it. The point is this. There are such bigger implications to what's going on in our society right now. It speaks bigger and it speaks higher volumes than just Lehman Brothers falling, you're a little bit behind on your mortgage, all of these things. Look at the spiritual stuff that we're going through. Let's take it to a spiritual level. Let's look at the spiritual place we're going. When we had Katrina, remember I talked about it, all of a sudden family is important. 9/11, family is important. Family is important. This is a place that this country has not seen in many, many, many decades. So now you're fighting with your kids because you can't buy them. And can I tell you something, everybody, just kind of like as a sidebar, we negotiated down from $100 because the sneakers he really wanted were like $100 or $110, and we stood firm and he found a pair for $80. So like my husband and I really looked at each other and like, we're really suckers, but we at least we negotiated down to $80. Call me what you want, say what you want, but y'all know I tell you everything. The point is this. Not only are there spiritual implications to what's going on in this economy, but the financial implications for adults. And then look at our future. What future do we possibly have? What future can we possibly aspire to enjoy with all that's going on right now? I'm just going off on a tangent. Let me read some of the stuff that's going on in the chat room. For those of you who can't who may be at work. Oh, my goodness, I have a caller. I didn't even pay attention. Y'all know I'm so busy in the chat room. Caller from 718, can you please call back? I'm sorry about that. I wasn't even paying attention to the call line. I'm so sorry. Caller from 718, can you call back, please? Some of the stuff that's going on in the chat room, you better pick up Chinese and Arabic. You guys are so funny at lunchtime. We were talking about, like, other countries, and they're saying you better learn Spanish, but you better pick up Chinese and Arabic, too. You guys are nuts. Ms. V said the 90s were off the chain. Oh, my goodness, I went through money like water. And you know what? My son got mad. I don't know why you and Daddy don't have money. We used to have money before. I mean, the arrogance of my kid, and I say this in love. My kid is, I have absolutely darling and great kids. But do you see that level of arrogance? He's like, what are you two doing? You're not on your grind? Okay, I got my caller back. Hey, this is Cy. You're on the air on Life Remix Radio. Who's this?
John calling from New York.
John, what's going on? I'm so sorry. I didn't even know how long I kept you holding. I'm sorry. I'm operating everything by myself today. Talk to me. What's going on? Well, you're in New York, so you know what I'm talking about this whole Lehman Brothers thing, right?
Well, they say that New Yorkers are the brunt or are the forefront of these issues, and the rest of the country is like maybe a few steps behind. But definitely, I believe that the problem is that no one understood the games they were playing anyway. When this money was coming freely and we was popping bottles and all of that,
yep.
We didn't understand that money should have been preserved for future aspects. We're talking about the preservation of our children to have a little cushion and stability to elevate themselves from the point where we were struggling. You
yep.
understand? So, you know, in order to really get a stronghold of this thing, I think a lot of people will be shocked if the banks failed and only discovered that their money was only secured for 100 grand. You know what I mean? You know, it's time that we get back to the understanding what the rules of the game that we're playing are in order to make better educated decisions, and we might just discover some of our ideas should have been in the entrepreneurial aspect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the money that we're talking about are from our blood and sweat of
mm-hmm.
going and punching the clock and working for someone else every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And no one is really thinking about the biggest problem is we feel that the only way we can obtain something is by using this money. That's just
mm-hmm.
not true. You know, if we had entrepreneurial aspirations, maybe we could use a different system like the barter system or something to that effect. Nobody's considering that.
My husband has been saying that for years, and I've heard, actually, I think I've heard that on this show before, too. You've got wheat, I've got corn, let's all eat together. Do you see what I'm saying? Let's barter and let's share. But unfortunately, that's not how we play. And I watched this movie about Enron a couple years ago, and you know, it's slightly slanted to the left, but it showed how it had recorded conversation, how these two guys were controlling the energy, and they flipped the switch and they're like, hey, you know, let's have a blackout in LA, boop, here's the switch, hey, let's have a brownout in San Diego, boop, here, and it was showing how they were literally doing it as a game. And think of how Enron fell and how much people lost. If that was not the handwriting on the wall, I don't know what is.
Well, the truth of the matter is, if you understood the rules, you'll understand everything that's presently operating as legit is fraudulent in some form or fashion.
Of course.
You know, the only way you can really put checks and balances on it is by knowing how it's impacting you and actually bringing it to light, maybe in a civil forum, a civil court forum, or through whatever petition that you choose. You know, but until you get a stronghold on what the problems are in reference to understanding the rules, you're just going to be frustrated and subjected to talking about it without an over-objective view.
Yeah, and that's the part that really sucks. I don't know if that's a good way to put it, you know, but basically that's the point that we're at right now. I'm very afraid.
I'm really... You got to remember, just because you became a little bit conscious of the fact that something could possibly go wrong, this stuff has been going on for years. You understand? I mean, let's face it, it's enough evidence against certain people to have put them in front of a firing squad. You know what I mean? So it's really no need to really get upset because you discovered that there's an issue of a possible concern that could bottom out up underneath your feet. You know what I mean? The wisest thing to do for anybody to do is to really get a grip on what it is they want as a goal and preserve some of those that money that they're using to just go off on luxuries with, you know?
I think the reason I say I'm afraid is because I have children. If it was just Cy fending for herself, I'll be all right. But, you know, one of the things, the cardinal rules of parenthood is to instill hope and give guidance to your children. I don't even know what to tell them. And you know what's funny? I told my kids when they were little, you're going to go to college. You know, they thought college was a natural progression out of high school. They didn't know it was an option. And I was very, very comfortable with that premise. I didn't care if it was community college. I didn't care where it was. You're going to do something after high school. And I was absolutely devastated when my older son opted not to go to college. He said, I'm going to go to barber school. I want to be a barber.
Yeah, he doesn't want to waste the time just to get a degree and discover that there's really, he's just going to be frustrated like he hear the parents talk about when they come home from a hard day's work.
That's what I didn't get. I was very frustrated and, dare I say, embarrassed. And I'm saying this, y'all know I tell you everything. I'm like, how can I tell my friends my son is going to be a barber? Like,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Wait a minute, but, well, wait, this is what I want to say, though.
Mm-hmm.
My husband sat me down. Mm-hmm. And said, Saida, let's look at this right here. Because you, like, all my listeners know how I was raised, the environment in which I was raised. And I don't know how many of you saw Tyler Perry's new movie this past weekend. And I'm not going to spoil the movie. But in the movie, Sanaa Lathan is married to the guy Rockman Dunbar. And she says to him, you didn't go to Harvard. You're never going to have anything. And a lot of people would think, oh, my gosh, how could she think that way? But a big part of my life, I felt that way because that's the way I was reared. So when it came to my children, I'm like, this is what you have to do. So my husband sat me down, and for the record, he is a very blue-collar guy. Gets up, goes to work, does his job 8 hours, and comes home. He said to me, Saida, really, is it really that bad? Think about it. If he goes to become a barber, he will always have a job. He will always have a way to make income. Mm-hmm. It's a heck of a lot cheaper than us paying for him to go to college, and then we turn on the TV and see him at MTV Weekend with girls flipping up their shirts, talking, you know, what's that thing, Girls Gone Wild and all. He's not spending my money to do that. And once he broke it down to me, I was like, dang, you're right. And I don't want to say I became more proud of my son, but my respect level changed for him because he saw something that I, as a parent, did not even see. I was very happy about that.
No doubt, but even deeper, people have to realize, being that due to the fact that this stuff has been going on for years, there is some form of honor amongst thieves, and it's buried in the rules. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
And until you're able to catch a thief with his hand in a cookie jar, it's obvious you don't understand the rules as it's written. You know, they're not hard to understand. All you got to do is go get the law book and the dictionary to interpret it. I mean, it's not that hard, you know, but like the saying goes, if you want to hide something, you put it in the book.
Dropping Seed said, I went to school with a guy who was a barber and is now a millionaire. I want to make sure everybody has a proper understanding. By in no means am I turning down my nose at barbering as a trade. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm thinking in my brain, by virtue of the way that I was raised, you go to school, you go to college, you get a good job. And that's the importance of this show, Life Remixed.
But the only purpose is, the thing is about school. School is supposed to be turning out entrepreneurs and people that can give both sides of the issue.
Right.
And give and progress this country in a progressive fashion from that, but they're
not
doing that. Like you said, your whole thing was to go to school and to get a job, but as it stands, you're only going to school just to become a corporate drone and to just make more capitalism for the company. You know, I mean, people are tired of that.
Especially I believe the real reason of school is greed, because going through this whole situation with my son has made me really look at this entire educational system.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows I follow TV, politics, and everything. I was watching this program on NBC. Bust what I'm getting ready to tell you. This guy was a doctor. His wife was a lawyer with her MBA. They were $532,000 in debt. Now, these numbers are true, because these numbers I will never forget. They had already paid down $12,000 of their school loans and still had $520,000 more left to pay. Now, their loan payments, their student loan payments, came to $4,100 per month. And you know what both of them said? How can we pay for this?
Well, the
There's
truth of
no
the...
job. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. The truth of the matter is, if they understood the rules of how the game is played, then they wouldn't be stressing about those bills. You know, that's the
You're
truth.
Right.
And I could clarify it a little bit more, but like I said, there is honor amongst thieves.
Well, they got zooped. Basically, they got zooped. And
no, it's not that they got duped. They don't understand the rules. I mean, if you look at the Fair Trade Agreement, it'll explain it all, basically.
Do you know where we could find that? Because I would love to put. Should we just Google Fair Trade Agreement?
Why not? Read up on it. You know.
No, I'm saying so I could put it
in
the chat room. All right, so everybody, I'm putting it up in the chat room to research RES.
You know, but like I said, it's deeper than that. You really have to. You know, a lot of people don't believe the Constitution is still a living document. They think it's something that's being subsided and sidestepped. It's only being sidestepped because no one's really in a understanding fashion of how it works. It's supported by oath and oath only. And basically, if they're intruding on you by any means, being the people, then you have to understand it on how they're supposed to operate in order to keep them in line. And that definitely comes down to bills as well.
You know, John McCain was on The View last week, and he made a comment and said he's going to put justices on the bench that interpret the Constitution in a literal way. And Whoopi Goldberg said, so does that mean I have to be worried about slavery? And they laughed it off, and she said, because that was allowed under the Constitution. And, you know, then the commentator, because they showed the snip of it, was saying how, oh, that was out of line for her to say that. She shouldn't have said that. Do you think that was out of line for her to say that? I'm not that well-versed in the Constitution.
Well, like I said, mainstream media has its way of leaking certain truths, and unfortunately come in the form of little short snippets and jokes
right.
and stuff like that. But the bottom line is those people have certain criteria. I'm talking about our executive judicial branch and legislative
right.
branches. They have a form of laws that they're supposed to follow, and basically they're getting away with people's ignorance on how they're supposed to interpret these laws. The Constitution is a clear-cut document. It's either you're gonna support it by contract, or you're talking about a liberty. It's only those two things that it speaks
right.
about, and I think people try to do what these Supreme Court judges do without understanding that they just interpret it, you know, in their own words. You have to understand how the Bill of Rights and the Articles are supposed to be adhered to. And until you understand the rules, they're going to keep interpreting the Constitution as to the way they want you to know it.
And you're not going to know it or even know to look for it because they're not teaching it in school.
Well, they're not going to teach it in school because they need more drones to substantiate capitalism or their corporate entities. You understand? And basically, you have to study how a state is formed and how corporations can really operate within a state. Until you do that, you're just going to be frustrated by the system itself. That's a drone.
Well, so now here we are. We know, hold on one second. Ms. V, you said there's a lot of info, Cy. What do you want specifically? I really didn't want anything specifically. I'm just saying, oh, she's saying on fair trade agreement. I'm not sure. Maybe it's just a challenge to all of you that are listening, because you know when I get off the phone, I'm going to look up fair trade agreement and all that stuff too. So I think I didn't want anything specifically, but I just wanted to put it out there that that's something that we need to research. Mm-hmm. So that's it about that. But thank you for asking me what did I want specifically. I don't know enough about it, so I can't ask for anything specific. John, is there anything that we should be looking for specifically in the fair trade agreement, or should we just be looking it up as a something?
Basically, and have your dictionary in hand to understand that complex language. That's all.
Okay. So then that's what I really
And I'm not just talking about a Webster dictionary. I mean, there are many different types of dictionaries. You have to go get the ones that are basically specific to law.
Well, that's a challenge for everybody. We have to be enlightened. We have to rethink everything we know about everything we think we know in order to really be successful at living in life the way life is coming at us. But I think what you said, John, is so profound, because you said schools are graduating drones. And I made this comment, and I think I don't want anybody to think that I just, like, hate my kids by the stuff that I'm saying today. But I really looked at my son, and I said to my husband, he is so ill-prepared for life. Now, I've been very, very active in teaching him from home, teaching him as much as I can. But they didn't even have text English books in high school. Do you see what I'm saying?
The most important thing for parents to teach their children is basically whenever they leave the house, they're only going to conduct business. You know, parents don't teach their children that. They teach them to let them go and just play and run wild outside or whatever. But, you know, you got to teach these children the nature of business itself. And every time you leave your house, that's what you're going to do.
Well, I'm very lucky or blessed that I have taught my children that from day one. And I do believe I've raised very articulate and smart children, but not in a way to conform with within a traditional educational institution. And because of that, my children have had challenges and great challenges in schools because I have taught them. I remember one time my little son got suspended because he said Christopher Columbus did not discover America because people were already here, and he was suspended for disrupting the class.
Right, and basically you should have took that suspension and took they behind to civil court and sued them, because your son was absolutely right. He never stepped foot in the Americas. Your son was absolutely right.
Do you know that was in October of the school year, because that's when, you know, we celebrate Columbus Day? Do you know throughout the course of that entire year he was suspended 13 times, and at the time he was in third grade, he was only 7 years old?
Well, I tell parents all the time, you're leaving your education to your children, the people that are really teaching them the same system that you learned to keep you suppressed mentally. I was homeschooled for 12 years, you know what I mean? I didn't have that complexity. I understand the issues of Columbus and all of those guys very well. And basically, that lie is being kept alive due to the fact that somebody has an interest in keeping that lie alive. But if you understood what their interest was, you wouldn't be so mad about people saying he discovered America. I really don't care what they say. I know what the original intent was.
You know who really got me like this? KRS-One. Y'all know that he was my boss. I was his personal assistant. KRS-One was specifically my boss. Like, literally, he would call and say, Cy, we need to have a staff meeting. And it could be like 11 o'clock at night. I'm like, oh, my God, we're finishing the staff meeting at 4 in the morning. But working for him specifically as my boss, he is so incredibly smart. And I say that not as a KRS fan, but as a student of life.
Well, Chris basically told everybody to understand the premise of what ancient Africa was about.
Yes.
And if you don't understand the premise of ancient Africa, you're not going to understand why you're frustrated today. That's why I tell people all the time, you got to go past the boundaries of your Bibles and basically go back to where life began to understand what, why people were migrating and moving around and making all these decisions. And then you can understand what the slavery issue is about, religion is about, economics is about. You know, you have to really understand it from that perspective. And that's the message that I got from Chris. And basically, he was the one that really started me on studying ancient Africa.
I never looked at him from a perspective, like, through those eyes. I honestly have to say, I looked at him as this is my boss. You know, and bosses can get on your nerves one day. You have a good reason. He was my boss. But just by virtue of me working for him day in and day out, almost on a 20-hour cycle, because his life is so 24-hour, you know, based on a 24-hour cycle versus a normal work schedule or anything like that, we would have the most astounding conversations about offbeat topics, things that I never thought of. And he's the one that taught me about, yo, Sai, you really need to start homeschooling your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to start. He's the one. I'm telling this, everybody. He's the one that was like, Saida, why would you allow them to teach your children that Christopher Columbus discovered America? When I worked with him, because our hours were so, like, diverse, like we didn't really have a normal work schedule. We would work all times of the day. I remember he would get videos from like Blockbuster or whatever on Frederick Douglass, or if something came on Channel 13, we would sit his kids and my kids down in front of a TV, and that's how they were schooled.
Exactly. And that's all it takes. I mean, by law, if you're homeschooling, it only takes 3 hours of instruction.
Yep.
Per day. What's the whole seven for? The other aspects of the instruction is just to make sure they can make a 40-hour work week, but it ain't necessary.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You know, it's time for parents to start putting these things back in their own hands. This is true. Or you're going to keep making these frustrated people that are going around in these ciphers, and ciphers are hard to break. You know,
it's bad. It's really bad. And I feel I did my, now looking back, I feel like I did my children such a disservice. But the only thing that makes me feel somewhat better is that all along the way, I was educating my children in life and how to observe and how to be articulate and how to, without sounding sarcastic, not like how to be articulate, but just how to formulate your thoughts, when to speak, when not to speak, when to hold your thoughts. And it has actually come back to bite me sometimes, because I've been told, and my grandmother says that to this day, that I've got the most disrespectful children on the face of the planet, but it's because my children speak out, sometimes albeit an inappropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
What they think. And if I raised my children to be drones, my son right now would be in college wasting my doggone money instead of doing something that he thought was best for his life. So I'm very happy, and I have no regrets from raising my children the way that I have.
It's
none
time for people to really go back and read for themselves that information that we dismissed and said, I don't want to hear that, even from our parents and grandparents.
Yep.
Let's face it, my grandmother talked about the family tree ever since I can remember, up until the day she died, which was like 80-something years. And I basically tuned her out. Now I'm craving to know my family history, you know what I mean? And nobody presently can go past my grandparents, and that's a detriment to me. So it's on my onus now to go research this stuff. It's sitting in somebody's archives, and it's public information, you know. So you have to educate yourself basically on the information that you were taught, just to verify in your own moral and value code whether or not it's true.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We are down to the last minute of the show. We went up into the edge. I want to say, John, thank you. I value your contribution to the show more than you can ever imagine. we don't know each other. We've never met up until last week. But I really, truly value you calling into the show, and thank you so much. To everybody in the chat room, we are just going to continue the show in this vein. I'm not changing anything. It's working. I love this conversation. And we're just going to rock with it again tomorrow. I'm going to find some stuff for us to talk about, And I really love you all for listening, and thank you for spending an hour of your day with me. Just remember that the light of God surrounds us. Oh, that's my phone. Sorry about that, everybody. Just remember the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is. And wherever you are, God is. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. And I'll see you all tomorrow right here on Life Remix Radio, broadcasting live from New York City, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, each and every day. Peace.